자한테서 들은 바에 의하면 그 아줌마가 엄청 심한 복숭아 알러지, 응? 알레르기가 있다는 거야. 그 왜 복숭아 그 겉에 완전 다 털이잖아. 그 털이 1m 근처에만 가도 온몸이 새빨개지고 호흡 곤란해, 천식에 아주 쌩 난리가 난다네.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rotten Potatoes podcast, where four friends sit down and review movies that you absolutely should have seen already, but at least one of us hasn't. My name is Scott, and I'm here with three of the other hosts of this podcast.
Ow. My name is Jake.
Why'd that hurt?
Because we usually say friends.
Yeah, both can be true.
It was just more, I think it was more Scott just literally train wrecking that intro and then just trying to get out of it, pitch out of it in any way possible.
When Scott does something like that, though, it feels very deliberate. You know, like if somebody else had said it, I wouldn't have thought they were trying to offend me. But because Scott said it, I knew he was trying to hurt my feelings.
I did it on purpose.
Yeah,
it's fair enough. That's fair enough. Well, I'm Tyler.
I'm Zach.
Did you already do yours?
I already did Jake, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He's Jake and he's hurt.
Yeah.
I'm offended.
I think we should have done the English dub for the intro.
Is there an English dub of this movie?
I think so.
Oh, I should have watched that. I didn't.
Do you like dubs?
No, but I'd tell you something. I probably would have a hard time picking up most of the minor characters in this movie because I spent most of the time looking at the bottom third of the screen.
Like visually, you would have a hard time identifying them.
You would
know their voice.
Yeah, I would know their voice, but I struggle with subtitles. So even when I'm watching something in English, all I can do is look at the bottom because they're there and I have to read them.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's a problem I have.
I think that's fair. And honestly, there were a couple of times watching this where because you know, it's hardly the first even foreign language movie that we've done on this pod, but like every time, there are times where I'm like, wait, that all happened too fast and I just have to go back to be able to like spend time once on the dialogue and once on the action. Like
I have so much respect for, like, I know people who I work with who are from Mexico and they said, like, I learned English watching Friends. Mm-hmm. And I can't figure out how they've done that. I'll watch like Indian movies. I watch this movie. I didn't even pick up a single word. I was reading the subtitles the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I have so much respect for people who can just figure that out.
I agree. Yeah. It's like playing music by ear. It's like, that seems impossible.
Maybe they didn't use subtitles. Maybe they just had it in English.
Then how do you make any progress?
I just figured it out. Yeah. It's like immersion.
I don't think Bong Joon-ho was watching Friends, but he did something similar. He picked up, and I don't think he's fluent in English, but he picked up a lot of English from watching American films growing up.
Like Mad Max.
I mean, it could have been one of the original ones. I'm sure he maybe saw those. But back when, during the Korean War, there was a lot of American soldiers over there, and so they had an American film channel that would play, and he would watch a lot of those, and that's how he really familiarized himself with a lot of American cinema.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
By the way, I don't know if we, did we say we're watching Parasite?
No, I was going to bring it up that, like, I mean, people, like,
clicked on the episode.
They've seen the title.
But there's obviously very little context that you could derive from intro.
They know Korean, and they could pick up from that scene that's what it was.
But yeah, they clicked on it. They're like, I hear the director of this movie is a Mad Max Fury Road super fan. So I would really like to hear about his movie.
Yeah, but we're doing Parasite. Scott, why did you pick this movie?
One, because it was, I feel like, a contested movie when it won the Academy Awards. Like I don't remember what it was up against, but there were some people that were upset that Parasite won.
It was up against like four of the other movies that we're doing this year.
Oh, okay.
Ford versus Ferrari, Little Women, Boyhood, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I don't remember what else.
Yeah.
The Irishman, I believe.
And so I think it just intrigued me as like a foreign film that won Best Picture. And so I had never seen it. I didn't really know what it was about. I think when I first heard the name Parasite, I assumed it was like a more like horror type movie. Like that just sounds like that genre. Oh,
and even the artwork kind of led more to that.
Yeah. Like, it looks ominous.
Yeah. That great word, ominous.
And I would say for the first three quarters of the movie, it's not that. And then the last little bit of the movie, it's like, oh, what is happening? So, Yeah, I didn't really have any context for it. It was just a movie that I wanted to see, but that I probably wouldn't have watched outside of this pod. So I put it on the pod.
Well, I think I was the only late bloomer to this, right? Or Scott the two was. Of us.
I had never seen it before.
Okay. I had seen it.
Yeah, and I know you had seen it. Well, why don't we hit a little bit of just the facts before we hear from Jake and Zach what they think about.
Yeah, so this was directed by Bong Joon-ho. It was written by Bong Joon-ho and Han Jin-won. It was released October 11th, 2019. Has a runtime of 132 minutes. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 99%. IMDb gave it an 8.5. Pretty big box office of 263 on such a small budget of 11 million. So it had almost a 24x return. It won four Academy Awards: Best Picture, Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, and Best International Film. And then lost two others for Best Production Design and Best Film Editing.
I have a question about how the Academy works. I thought because there's an international film category, then there wouldn't like I just don't know how international films get rated and why aren't more international films put up for Best Picture then? I don't understand.
It is it's kind of funny that it's just kind of funny that it wins Best Picture and Best International because it's, you know, it was the very first international film to even be nominated for Best Picture. And it's mostly because, frankly, like the Academy like is based on mostly a bunch of English speaking Americans. And they don't watch enough foreign movies.
But then, yeah, I had just kind of assumed
to like want to nominate them and then vote for them.
Because I had just kind of assumed that the Academy was mostly do it with four American movies, but then I guess every movie from every country is on the table.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't think I realized that.
As long as, I mean, there are certain criteria.
Yeah. As long as it hits that criteria.
It hit like, I think it has to be released in America.
Okay.
But it doesn't have to be made in America.
Okay.
And it, yeah.
Or I guess like made for America, I guess.
It doesn't have to be made for America, but it has to be released in America. And I think it has to run for 2 weeks in theaters in a certain like standard of like number of theaters. And there are a couple of other like prerequisite requirements, but I can't remember all of them off the top of my head.
Interesting.
There's some other like weird, I don't know. There's some other weird ones that can like make a film ineligible. And like, of course, like release date is like, you know, the biggest part of it is determines what award Which season award, and yeah. it's eligible for. But yeah, no, it's the first Best Picture winner, but I'm almost certain it was the very first foreign film nominated for Best Picture.
I thought that a Bollywood movie called Lagan had been nominated, but I could be wrong.
Maybe.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not the Academy guy.
Yeah, I and like I said, I'm almost positive, but I'm not 100% on that figure. But Jake and Zach, you had seen this before. What did you think watching it the first time, and what did you think watching it back through this time?
Do you want me to go first?
Oh, sorry, I was looking something up. I was incorrect.
Yeah, Zach, you can go first.
So the first time I watched this, I liked it. But kind of similarly to Mad Max, I think because there was so much hype surrounding this movie that it rubbed me a little bit the wrong way. I think there's kind of a part of me that's just like, I mean, I liked it, but people are talking about this like it's one of the best films ever made, and I don't know if I like get it to be able to equate it to that. And so I don't, maybe it's a little overrated. And honestly, I think it probably is still a little overrated because people do talk about it like legitimately, like it's one of the best films ever made. But I think that the ending kind of, we've talked a little bit before that like if a director can really land the plane, it will maybe make you forgive past sins of the movie. And then inversely, like if they kind of screw up the ending, then it really sours you on a movie that you may have really liked up to that point. And I don't think I cared for the ending very much, or I just wasn't expecting it. And so it really came out of nowhere for me and really kind of maybe soured me a little bit on the movie. I think I was a little mixed on the messaging, how I felt about it, if I even completely understood it or not. So I felt conflicted about it the first time. But ultimately, like, I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was well made. I liked it. Didn't love it. This time around, I really liked it, actually. I liked it quite a bit more. I think I still have maybe some of those same critiques, or at least understand like why I felt that way at the time. And I don't know if those are all completely resolved, but they are not as big of barriers to me enjoying this movie like they were in the past. And I think ultimately I've been thinking about this movie a lot since I watched it a few days ago. And I had a better time with it. I think it helped just for me kind of knowing what I was getting into, but I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed my time with it.
Yeah, I'd seen it before and I didn't like it at all, but it's cause I didn't enjoy watching it. And I, this time did not enjoy watching it. It's stressful. There's nobody for me to root for. And like, I feel like everybody was talking about it like it was one of the greatest movies ever, and I didn't see it. And I still don't understand that. I still don't see that. And, but then the thing is like, the message did confuse me. Like you were saying, cause like, I feel like everybody was like, this has got this great message about income inequality. And I'm like, everybody sucks. Nope. I don't like, it's like, and the further along you go in the movie, the more you're against all the poor characters in the film. So I didn't understand the message. I didn't really get what it was trying to tell me. And I don't know, maybe it's a culture thing. Maybe this makes sense to Koreans. I don't know, but I still don't like it. I think I liked it better this time because I kind of knew what I was getting into. But I am willing to be talked up on it, but I still didn't enjoy it. I still don't think I like it.
I think, so this was totally new for me. And really the only reason why I hadn't gotten around to watching this was just because I need to be in a certain kind of headspace to watch a foreign language film. Like, because
you'd be willing to read.
Yeah. I have to be willing to read, you know? And I don't know. Like, I just hadn't, every time I came across it, I was like, I'm just not, this is not the mood I'm in right now. And so I knew I would get around to seeing it, and I'm glad that we got to see it, you know, for the pod. But I think I'm in the same boat as you guys. Like, I think it's good. I don't understand the, like, enthusiasm around it. And, like, I almost wonder, like, I don't mean to, like, I'm not trying to say something, like, insidious, but I almost wonder if it's, like, almost a function of, like, this got hyped up a lot because, like, yeah, foreign language films are also good films and they have like different cultural sensitivities than American films, but most Americans never watch foreign language films. And so this got a little bit of hype, which got a lot of people out into theaters to see it. And so everyone's like talking about like how like unique and different and refreshing it was. And it's like, or it's just foreign, like maybe watch more foreign films. And like, maybe that wouldn't feel as like unique and different and special. A lot of the things about this, because it just, it feels like a good movie to me, but that's about it.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. I actually didn't read about it beforehand. Which is unusual for me. Most of the time I do read about it beforehand. But yeah, I actually really liked it. I thought, even though I knew they were doing like not great things, I was rooting for that main family to like get stuff and improve their lives. And it was interesting too, because like they were like getting to these positions in inscrupulous ways, but they were actually doing that work.
Right. Yeah. It's not like,
aside from maybe the daughter, who was just making stuff up with the son. Mm-hmm. But like the mom really was making them food and like cleaning their house and like doing stuff. The dad really was driving him around and he really was tutoring her in English. Although
I don't know how much tutoring was going on.
Although the relationship aspect of it was not great.
Uh-huh.
And so it was just kind of funny. It reminded me of that Key and Peele skit where he's like, all right, this is how we get the bank. We go in,
yeah.
We get jobs. They're going to pay us every 2 weeks for the rest of our lives. And it's like, yeah, dude, that's just a job. Like, I just did the job. Uh-huh. And so like, I wasn't as down. Like I understand like
the con was to get an honest job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so it's not like, yeah.
And which like they never would have had an opportunity for that. So I understand like trying to do maybe things that you shouldn't normally do to try to get something to provide for your family and stuff. So,
but the it was also at the expense of other working class people.
Yeah, that was
for half of them.
Yeah, but
and they also just completely disrespected their employer's house. Like they came in, they took all their food. I'm not saying they trashed the place.
I'm not saying they were innocent people in the whole thing.
So like that's where they lost me. Like it's one thing to lie and get a job, sure. But then to get an honest, other hardworking class person fired because you want more jobs,
right?
That's where they lost me.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, and they even kind of addressed that at one point. They're like, oh, they could like just get another job, like because they already have that background. Like it wouldn't be as hard for them to get another job.
He had the background too, though, and he couldn't get a job. The dad had been a driver. He couldn't get another job. So
I think what's interesting about this movie and what I kind of like about it is other than maybe the first driver, because we really don't know anything about him. But the first housemaid, we also realize was not an honest person at all.
She was taking advantage of
everyone's kind of a parasitic person in a way. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. I agree. I think she was better because she said that she paid for her husband's food out of her own salary. She just hid him there.
But she like it seems that maybe she lied because he
said she eats enough for two.
He thanked Mr. Park from like when he's banging his head against the wall for
providing
shelter and food for him. And so like I think
she said that just to try to get them not to like do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, like she's not great either. No. Like nobody's great because like that's another thing that made me not like the movies. I felt bad for her.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, well, she sucks too, huh?
Yeah.
Like who doesn't?
But yeah, I mean, I honestly had a really good time with it up until like the old maid comes back.
Oh, that's when you.
Wow.
That you didn't like it from that point on.
I said I didn't have like a good. I was having like a fun time.
Oh, I see.
Oh. And then at that point, the just mood of the whole movie is just completely different.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like up to that point, it was just kind of like a fun, like, oh, we're getting this person in. Like,
yeah.
You know, like kind of like a fun little back and forth.
It's like, almost like a heist movie.
Like they're like practicing their lines.
Right. And
like,
I'm just poisoning the woman with peaches.
Yeah.
Good time stuff.
But it does have, I mean, it does have
like a parent trap.
Yeah, it has a tone of being like,
lighthearted.
Yeah. A little lighthearted. And like
it does feel like
this family against the world and yeah.
And it's so well paced. I think that's a strength of this movie is it's just incredibly well paced. There's almost never a slow moment. I don't think there's like a single slow moment in this movie.
So the pace changes, we kind of cut you off. Did you like the pace change or did you not like the pace change?
I mean, there were some things I knew things were going to change at some point because we had to get to a crux of something in this movie. Otherwise, what's the movie?
Yeah.
So I knew something was going to happen, but wasn't sure what. I was not expecting there to be a basement with her having her own husband down there and like doing the same thing essentially this family was doing.
Right.
That was for sure a twist for me.
Frankly, better. Honestly.
For 4 years, he's been living there, eating their food.
And even to the point where like, the family thinks that the lights are on sensors.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it's
this guy's been smacking his head
off. Like.
Yeah, that was crazy. And then the violent turn it takes too. Like, you know, it gets there and I'm like, oh gosh, is there going to be like, you feel the tensions rising a little bit and then there's the back and forth. And then as soon as it started raining, I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to come back. They were camping. Like I had already started thinking that before, like while they were just drinking their whiskeys and stuff on the couch, I was like, ugh. So I wasn't sure how it was all going to come back. So I was really like, it had me fully engaged, which not all movies do, especially movies that I would say are like this at times, like the like higher, like film type movies sometimes struggle to keep me engaged. But this one did. Like I was on the edge of my seat the whole time from that through the whole movie. It was just, I felt like there was like so much humanity amongst all these characters. Like no one was perfect, but everyone, like you understand where they're coming from and their like motivations behind things. It's like, oh, like their history or their past like has brought them to this place where they're doing these things. And so I thought it was a very intriguing movie. I thought it was interesting. The only thing I didn't quite get, I understand it, but, and I would love to hear your thoughts on it is the whole fight scene, the guy comes out from the basement, he's got the knife, you know, there's the attack, everything. And then the dad stabs the rich dad. And I was like, you would have been fine. Like up to this point, like what brought you to that point?
It's just act of passion, of rage.
Especially because he was like, why are you helping her? Who he doesn't know is his daughter, but why are you helping her? I need to get my kid out of here.
Right.
And then I can understand that. He's like, I'm going to kill you because you don't think my daughter's life is worth anything.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that, and I think he was also just kind of fed up with, he was pretty disgusted with him because
he's like, I'm paying you to do this.
Well, can you put up the, I can't.
Mr. Park?
Mr. Kim. I'm never going to be able to have these names down pat. I'm sorry. And I don't feel like butchering them. But Mr. Kim, I think, was just so disgusted with Mr. Park because Park was just so classist, because he had just sat through that whole, he smells like poor people, basically. Mm-hmm. And then now he's making him dress up like an Indian, and he doesn't and then his daughter is bleeding out and he doesn't care. I think his
home was just destroyed the night before.
Yeah, I think he was just, I think it was a crime of passion for sure. But I think it was just, he was just so disgusted with Park and with his elitism, I guess.
And I think I've been thinking about this and trying to figure out, and I don't know, maybe I don't think I can generalize about Korea, but I think as an American, I had just been I've been reading a lot of John Steinbeck lately, and I feel like he focuses on income inequality and the working class a lot, but there in all of his books, there's kind of a hard times makes brothers of us all. Everybody comes together, and there's a lot of heart in that. And that's what I'm missing here, where it's and I get it. It's this is what they're doing to us. We're so poor, we have to even eat each other. But then it couldn't grab me. And maybe it's just coming from this other, completely other perspective.
I think it is. I think you're right. It's from a completely other perspective, because I think I could be wrong. I mean, I'm not as well read in Steinbeck as you and Zach are. But from what I understand about Steinbeck, he typically writes about that inequality as having real, I guess merit to the equality of people. You know, where it's hey, you know, income equality is bad because all people are equal.
Yeah, I would say that's fair.
But I think that this movie, some people who I've heard talk about this movie as being a great story about income equality, I think that they're wrong. I don't think that's what he's trying to say. I think what he's trying to say is that rich people and poor people cannot live together in this modern society.
Huh.
I think he's saying the opposite. I think he's painting an intentionally bleak picture of what that looks like. And I think, Zach, what you said in the very beginning of this episode is right on point. I think the point of the movie is that everyone in this story is a parasite of each other. I think the rich people are parasitical toward the poor people, and the poor people are parasitical toward the rich people. And I think he's telling a very cynical, I think his moral is a cynical moral.
Yeah.
As opposed to Steinbeck, who I think has a generally hopeful moral of his stories. I mean, not hopeful in the sense, I know, God, yeah.
Yeah.
He can write some sad, but.
Yeah. I think I was using Steinbeck as an example because I think he is very American.
Right.
I feel has a glimpse into the American mindset and the American, just the American life. And so I think that was why I was bringing it as an example.
Yeah, totally.
Where it's this culturally doesn't jibe for me. And I think that is why.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm agreeing with you. I think that I was, I was trying to connect those dots. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I think there's just a difference in genre as well. Bong Joon-ho describes this movie as a tragic comedy. And he said, this is a comedy without clowns. This is a tragedy without villains. Uh-huh. And then also the way that I watch it, it feels like a thriller. Like, I almost feel like there's a way you can just watch this as just a thriller and throw out all the deeper meaning behind it and still just really like it because it's just like wildly entertaining.
I agree.
I agree with that. And I think I think to call it a tragedy without villains, or what did he say? A tragedy without villains?
Yeah, tragedy without villain, comedy without clowns.
Does not seem accurate to me. I think that we are following the villains of the story. In a lot of ways.
But if everyone is the villain, can anyone be the villain? I guess that's the metaphysical,
yeah.
You know.
Okay. Like. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm able to see it a little grayer. Like I don't know if I would necessarily say the Kims are just villains and nothing else. Like, I do feel sympathy for them, and I think that there's some good qualities to them, and there's some really horrible qualities to them. And I think they're driven to a place that none of them at the beginning of the movie would have ever thought that they would be in or ever hoped to be in, or, and would be okay with that. I think that they are okay with taking advantage of people to it, like, from the get go. But I don't think that Mr. Kim is a murderer at the beginning of the film. And I think he's driven to that point.
Yeah, no, I don't think I didn't mean to like reduce them to like they're villains, sure. And nothing else. Uh-huh. But like, if you were to say like, oh, there's no villain to this story. If you were to ask me who the villain of the story is, I would think them. Mm-hmm. And I think that we see why they get there. And I think I feel empathy to a certain extent for them. And then they do lose me.
Yeah. And that's fair. I think that's fair. I think that I felt that a lot more on my first viewing and really struggled with that as well. I think what's interesting is that I feel like the whole like eat the rich kind of movie has gotten really popular. Mm-hmm. Since then, and Hollywood has kind of outputted a few of those since then. And I think maybe seeing a few since seeing Parasite has made me appreciate Parasite a little bit more.
It doesn't feel like an eat the rich movie. It feels like the poor eating the poor to try to, you know, get the scraps from the rich.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's what I think that kind of plays to my point a little bit, is that that's why I appreciate this movie, because I think it's more nuanced.
Okay.
And I think since then we've had eat the rich movies that are much less nuanced than this is. And I don't feel like that's as effective. It feels like a little preachier when it's just when the rich black and white, evil, nefarious people, and the poor people are completely innocent, great, upstanding moral characters.
Well, and you know, this, the movie I'm about to reference, it came out long before Parasite, but like Elysium. Like,
I never saw that one.
Like,
yeah.
Great example of a eat the rich movie that is just so on the nose and heavy handed. And it's just like, man, it's just not even good because like, I can't, regardless of whether or not I agree with what you're trying to say, like, it's just so heavy handed that like, I can't even get past it to appreciate your art. You know,
it's a movie I felt about Knives Out 2, even though I had fun with Knives Out 2, I liked it, but it felt very on the nose.
The funniest part of Knives Out 2 to me was that Elon Musk came out and was like, how dare you make a movie about me? And then he was like, what are you talking about?
I don't remember. I don't know if I've seen it. What was the, like, some of the
they're on an island.
Ed Norton plays like a rich idiot. Never mind.
I remember now.
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't realize what I didn't like about it, but I guess you're right. That's probably what it is. I don't think I ever could put my finger on it. But yeah, that's probably what I didn't enjoy about Knives Out 2. But no, I agree with you, Zach. I think that this is a very much more nuanced story, I think, than we're used to in this, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the nuance, I think that's just what makes it hard for me to enjoy, right? Like it's dealing with a hard thing and it's not enjoyable.
Because it's not black and white.
No, not because it's not black and white. It's just not, it's not fun. It's not fun to sit there and see the misery of their lives drive them to do miserable things. Like, that's not fun. And I don't think, it shouldn't be fun. It shouldn't be an enjoyable movie to watch.
Right.
But that makes it hard to watch and hard to like.
Right.
You know? That I guess I don't know that it should be those things.
Yeah, like it's almost doing its job too well, kind of.
Yeah, where I'm like, just like, I finished this movie and I was like, I'm going to go play Mario Wonder for a while. I need like a total palate cleanser. I need to play Mario.
It's funny because it's like, I think everything you're saying makes sense and is fair, but I don't really relate because this movie is also so wild and takes such drastic, crazy, like very entertaining turns that I am enjoying myself while I watch
it. Did you want to know Breaking Bad?
Couldn't get through the first couple episodes because it was miserable.
Because I felt like this is like a similar, like you have this like main character who at the beginning you kind of feel bad for. Mm-hmm. They make some decisions in their lives that get them into places they shouldn't have had to get to. And now they're having to make even harder decisions.
That's an interesting comparison.
That is a really interesting comparison. I haven't seen it,
so I don't know. But they seem to think it's right. So I'm going to jump on that bandwagon. But no, something you were saying, like, I understand your perspective as well, where you're like, this takes wild turns and it could be a very fun thriller. I get that and I don't relate to it, but I get why you think that. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know. It's just tough for me to watch.
I would say I also had a fun time. But I think I also really deeply relate to what you're saying and what you mean, but I don't think it quite, like, I see that. But I only get quite got in the way for me as much.
I think I get stressed out in movies easily. Right, and if I get stressed out, then that will get in the way for me.
I think that like stressed out feeling, I think I am a junkie for it in movies.
I think it's
an unhealthy thing for me. I think it's a fix that I get.
By the way, I have a fun thing I forgot I was gonna do, but I think a new bit would be if I talk to my girlfriend about these movies and then she asks, did Zach pick this movie?
I always love when it happens.
That was the first thing. I was talking to her on the phone yesterday. I was like, I gotta watch Parasite. And she's like, oh, did Zach pick that? And I was like, no. And then I didn't realize Scott picked it. I was like, I think Tyler did, because this seems like so not a Scott pick.
Yeah.
And then I looked at this. She was like, oh no, it was Scott.
I mean, it's sort of a Scott pick in the sense that, like,
I had no context and just picked it.
Yeah, it did wildly well at the Oscars.
Yeah. It had a really great ROI. So it's a Scott pick.
I'm trying to pick movies that you absolutely should have seen.
Yeah, and successful endeavors are a valid metric for you should have seen it. What did you guys think about the ending with the sun? Like, I'm not really sure how I felt about I don't know. I feel like I liked the movie up until after the party. Like, I liked the movie through the party and through the crazy murder and everything. I was like, oh my God, every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in, you know, I'm here. But then, like, the ending and, like, I don't know, his laughter about, I couldn't tell if it was like brain trauma or if he's just like,
I took it as he was just happy to be alive.
Okay.
His mindset
and brain trauma.
I took it as brain trauma as well.
Okay.
But his mindset at the end of the movie, I thought, like, how can you go through this and be like more naive than before?
Where right.
He's like, I'm going to get money and I'm going to buy that house. I'm going to get so like, it feels childish. And it's like, if it was that easy, you would have done that already.
And so would your father have.
Yeah, like if it was that easy, you would have had it, and then you would never have been in the situation.
Right.
I think the only difference is before, maybe he like lacked the motivation in himself, but this now was for his father.
Well, I could maybe sort of see that.
But I think I would have changed it up and I would have had to take longer. Like, he looked the same. His father, like, this could have been a week later.
That didn't
and I
happen.
Wouldn't have
well,
known.
I don't.
He didn't actually buy the house.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not convinced.
That was just him in the letter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I think that's kind of why I like it, because I think he's stuck back where he started, where he's just dreaming of, like, if only I can get rich.
I feel like he's worse than when he started, though, because he was so much more willing to work at the beginning of the movie. And I feel like he's more naive somehow. He went through this experience and he is more childish and more naive.
I will say, though,
he did experience brain trauma.
Yeah,
that's true.
And I will say, though, like, the Park family,
and just a ton of trauma in general.
Right. The Park family, like, even at the very beginning of the movie, like, where they're kind of like, I don't know, like, the Kims. Thank you. The Kim family, like, where they're like not even like really doing the boxes that great. Like, they're just not even like really trying. And then
one of
like,
them did the boxes poorly.
Well, sure, but they're delivering the boxes poorly and then, like, pissed off that there's, you know, I don't know, like, there is a little bit of a sense with that family of, like, I don't know, maybe this is, maybe it's more comedic than I even initially maybe noticed, but like they're sort of comedically self-sabotaging, you know, always. And so the fact that like he maybe is regressive, I don't know, maybe it's supposed to be, maybe it's supposed to be a little like funny that like, oh yeah, like look at how stuck he is, that he's now dumber. Like having lived through all of this experience, he's now even dumber than before.
I didn't think about that. I honestly didn't ever think that any of this was supposed to be a dark comedy until you said that the director said that. I didn't read that. So for me, big whiff on the dark comedy part.
I think it felt like a dark comedy to me. I would say, I know I didn't rate this super well, but like Royal Tenenbaums, like you have a lot of like lightheartedness to it, but then you have like some like dark stuff to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's
no,
tragic.
I think that
yeah.
Royal Tenenbaums nails, like I know exactly that it's trying to be funny. It doesn't hit that for me, but I knew that they were trying to make me laugh.
I do think though that that is the thing. And again, I'm going to kind of go back to like, this sounds way more elitist than I mean for it to, but I do just think that in general, most people do not watch foreign language films, so they don't really experience, you know, culture in the same way that you do, like watching so much of Bollywood, where like you kind of get to see like the way that a whole other culture like kind of thinks. They have different sensibilities, and like, yeah, like I mean, if the director's saying like this is like a comedy without clowns, like I get it, and I could see how like people just don't get that this is a comedy.
I wouldn't like, I feel like that would re-inform me on a separate watch through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If
yeah,
that
yeah.
makes sense, yeah, where like, totally. Like knowing that that's what you're going for, let's see if I can find something funny here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to remember, that happened to me recently where I only realized something was a comedy like halfway through. And I was like, okay, all right. Oh, I know what it was. It was a movie for the pod. It was Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, you didn't know it was a comedy?
I remember that.
Yeah, oh. Until like not halfway through, but quite a bit into it, I was like, oh wait, this is a comedy. Okay, like now I get it. Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
That was the reason I picked it, was because I knew it was a comedy. I read like a line for the movie, and it said, "What if the world came to an end and it was hilarious?" And
yeah,
I was like, that sounds funny. Okay.
Yeah. But I had no clue, and
I was
so
just
I was
waiting
like,
for the hilarity.
But yeah, no, like maybe watch it, because I wasn't watching it through the lens of it being a comedy, but I felt some of those beats, and then you saying that, I was like, oh yeah, I can see how that is like what he was going for. Like I can see it. But I do think that's a subtle,
yeah,
it's a very subtle
for sure
thing. Like that's, it's not obvious.
Subtle, just like one of his all time favorite movies, Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah. Very subtle, very subtle. I could see how this, how Mad Max, or this influence. Draws influence. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I could see it.
Yeah. Parasite.
Very, very similar in tone, very similar in style, you know, in look.
Yeah.
I would say I know we kind of talked about most of them having some like villainy to them. I would say the only like, I would say like innocence or non-villainy are like the two kids maybe.
Yeah, yeah, which
and
I was
especially
grateful for.
The son.
Especially, yeah.
Five-year-old kid.
I was grateful that we just kind of left him alone for the most part, because like, I didn't want to be cynical about children.
Uh-huh. But this poor kid, you know, like, you know, on his birthday, he just sees this dude with the big eyes coming from the basement.
Yeah.
And then he sees him again.
Thinks it's a ghost.
And then
yeah,
the dude comes and attacks on another birthday.
Kills his art teacher on his birthday.
You know,
his perspective is so jacked up.
His whole life is destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at this as a comedy, that is an Arrested Development plotline.
Very much. He
mistakenly sees a guy and he thinks it's a ghost in the house.
That's
and then later he comes back into something awful.
That would happen to Buster.
He's Buster.
He is Buster in this.
He just really loved the frosting.
Yeah, not only does he attack his art teacher, but then he's like, you know, going on and like covered in like, you know,
blood
and frosting, which is just like, how do you ever eat a birthday cake ever again after this?
Yeah. And then, yeah, the whole relation, like these two college students both interested in this sophomore in high school, like, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's more culturally accepted in South Korea.
It's pretty culturally accepted everywhere, it seems like, to be honest with you. It's gross.
Yeah.
But like,
You know, like when Billie Eilish turned 18, there was a bunch of people like posting countdowns.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
There's a comedy show that I like on HBO. It's like a super like C-level show. But it like it's about like the pursuit of fame, and they make a whole thing about like this kid that was like a child pop star that can't sing at all. But it was like a big deal when he finally turned 16 and they could take an armpit photo of him. Like that's like the height of hotness for a teenager, you know, to have an armpit photo, and they like make a big deal out of it, like making fun of like, that is, yeah, we worship
the sad youth. Reality that
the sad happens. Reality yeah. is that yeah. like everyone worships and sexualizes young people. Like it's gross, but even Americans do it.
Oh yeah, I know it happens here. It's just, it's weird that it's just so like culturally accepted that it's like, this is just a part of this movie.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a part of it to show that like,
also the depraved.
Yeah,
nature
everyone has bad qualities. Like everyone is kind of gross on some level. Mm-hmm. You yeah. know? Like I don't think that was unintentional or right. like flippantly put in.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and I don't honestly blame her a whole lot for.
Oh
it.
Like, no, I think no. she's a. A young just, child.
Oh, this yeah. older dude's interested in me.
I don't yeah. think anybody ever thought that we should blame her.
No, yeah. no, no.
That well, never was a thought in my head.
We had talked when we said, especially the young boy, which like indicated to me that maybe she wasn't as innocent
no, no, no,
to
no,
him.
No, yeah, but just I mean, no, I didn't mean to imply that.
I think there was something interesting about that relationship because we almost see the son, like we see the son there, exactly mimic his friend. Who went away where they're talking about the girl and he says, oh, well, when she gets out of high school, I'll officially ask her out. And that's exactly right. what his friends said, like he was completely mimicking
that's
his friend that got him.
I didn't really like think about that, mm-hmm. but
no,
I noticed that too.
I think you're right. I think he was like jealous of Min.
I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
Min. I think he was very jealous of him. And like, I don't know, there was even a point where he like WWJD'd him. And he was like, I don't know, in moments like this, I think about what Min would do. Yeah. And I was like, all right. Like
they loved Min.
Yeah. They loved, really loved Min.
Well, yeah, he was someone who kind of like bridged the gap between the rich and the poor. Like he was almost like their Robin Hood.
They wouldn't have had this job without Min.
Yeah, and in a way seemed like he delivered them such an amazing opportunity, but really
also greatest tragedy.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and even Mr. Kim at one point I think even says like I wish Min had never like given you that job or something like that. Yeah, I don't remember exactly what said, but it was almost like, yeah, this is all his fault. You know,
I'm super surprised that the son survived that rock.
I thought he was dead
when we see
already.
The dude yeah. throw it again.
Yeah,
it kind of like turns my stomach.
It was. I thought that was a murder that we had seen. Like I was like, oh yeah, he's super dead.
I've seen this movie before and forgot that he survived.
Yeah.
He's dead.
How much blood was coming out to him? Like how?
A lot.
How did he not bleed out?
It's a lot of brain blood.
Yeah.
So I thought both the kids were dead.
Yeah. I did too.
I forgot that. They don't all die. Like that was just my memory of the movie. It was just that everyone dies.
Only one did.
Uh-huh. I also forgot.
Only one kid dies, you know?
Well, you would think
that's not bad.
Can I be honest with you? I was last night, I finished the movie and I was like, wow, they really got away with nothing happening to them. And I was like, oh, well, one of them died. Never mind.
And one of them's a prisoner.
Yeah.
To his own design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the son's going to get him out. That's a lock. The son's going to buy. That's a lock.
Down the road. Yeah. I'd like to see him like 70 years old, finally have enough money to buy the house.
And his skeleton.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? Another thing that I this isn't an original thought.
And then he just lives in the basement with the skeleton.
Yeah. He moves him around in my
Weekend at Bernie's the skeleton.
Yeah. Hey dad, how you doing today? He bangs the skeleton's head against the lights. Sorry, go ahead, Zach.
That's all for the sequel, I think.
Oh, okay, so, yeah.
I hope so.
Parasite 2, more parasites.
It was, yeah.
Parasite 2, worms.
Sorry, Zach, what were you saying?
No, I was going to say there was something that I listened to a podcast about this movie, and one of the hosts had said something really interesting that, like, if you think about it, the son and the mother of the Kim family are in a much worse position than they were at the beginning of the film, because they're all, the entire movie, they're all really reliant on each other's income. And now instead of four incomes, they have two. And so it's just going to be that much harder for them to get ahead in any way.
They also only have two mouths to feed.
That's true.
Easier.
I still think worse, probably.
Better spot.
Yeah.
they went up in the world from this.
Maybe you're right. We'll see in the sequel.
Yeah.
Worms.
Too fast, too parasite.
What if they did a parasite crossover? Drift. With Fast and Furious, and that's what Fast 11 was.
That sounds like the worst idea for Bong Joon-ho and the best idea for Vin Diesel.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
He can't wait.
I feel like the son becomes one of the drivers in the
I feel like oh, yeah. somewhere. Like
that's how he's trying to get the money to buy the house.
Han's going to show up at the end.
The dad gets out, and he's a driver because he was already a driver.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You can do that
so
too.
I feel like somewhere Vin Diesel heard this. I don't know. Like right now, he's like, wow, solid idea. And he's going for it.
He's like, the son, inspired by his dad's driving skill, joins the family to try to earn the money to buy the house to free his
dad. Oh, there it is.
Is this also a car movie?
There it is.
Are three of the last four movies that we've done car movies?
It's kind of a car movie. They talk about the BMW, or the Benz, BMW a lot, whatever it was.
A lot of car content.
Yeah.
I mean, basically a couple of months of car content with a helicopter content thrown in.
It's true. That's basically a car.
Scott has changed the DNA of this podcast.
There's some cool
sky car.
There's some cool Humvees.
We're not Black Hawk Down. We're not a car. We're not a movie podcast. We're a car movie podcast. You know?
I would dare say 80% of all the movies we've done have cars in them.
That's at least. Yeah. I would say at least.
Most of the ones that don't have cars in them I picked.
I'm sure this... That's true.
Because they took place before the invasion.
Three 10 to Yuma, I don't think any cars. Good, the bad, they might have been, no cars.
They might have been made before the car.
Even Spirited Away had a car.
Yeah. It's true.
It's true. Oh my gosh.
We have Drive coming up.
Yeah, another car.
Oh, I picked that, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
I kind of regret that now.
You can change it.
I don't think
I'll
be honest with you. I think I'm going to hate Drive. I picked it because I thought it'd be funny to pick it in the draft.
I think you're also going to hate Uncut Gems. You were talking about how stressed you get during
movies. For sure. I don't know. But I've never seen it.
You told him it was Seinfeld energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was a lie. Yeah. It was just a lot.
Every once in a while,
and you told him Seinfeld.
Every once in a while, I'll get a text from Zach trying to justify his Seinfeld energy Uncut Gems take.
Just a lie.
Like the other day, he texted me and he's like, "I was listening to a podcast and somebody said Uncut Gems is the most Jewish movie they've ever seen." So, Seinfeld.
Yeah. Wow. There you go. Yeah. Wow. I would say I just watched Uncut Gems again. So I'll save most of my take for the pod, but I did remember watching it that Zach had said this, and I thought before rewatching it, I was like, no, it definitely doesn't have Seinfeld energy. After rewatching it, I was like, that is the weirdest. That's just not true.
I'm so excited. It does have Seinfeld.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that too.
It does not.
I'm so excited to get into it.
It does not.
I've been watching a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm lately. Yeah. So
In preparation for Uncut Gems.
Just to understand Larry David a little better.
Yeah, right.
I assume he had an influence on this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, it's Seinfeld energy, you know? If you could change something about this movie to, like, because I think all of us were saying, for the most part, we really enjoyed it. But, like, I think at least the three of us were kind of saying, like, maybe it's lacking a little sparkle or whatever is, you know, pushes it into being the best movie ever. What's something that you would change that you feel like would really dramatically improve the movie for you?
I don't know how I could change the movie without completely altering the DNA of this movie.
Gotcha.
Where like the things where I'm like, I don't enjoy this. I'm like, there's nobody for me to root for. But if you add that in, then the movie's completely different. And it's not like you can like tweak the movie and be like,
I got it, Jake.
All right.
For you.
Okay.
Movie's no longer in Korean. It's in English. You don't read subtitles.
Okay.
That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, the Undertaker is the dad.
So we're basically old boying this movie.
Hell yeah. Does he tombstone pile driver his boss to death?
That's how he does it at the end. Instead of just stabbing him with a thing, he does his signature move.
Like the guy comes out and then you hear the bells.
Uh-huh.
And then you're like, whoa, tombstone pile driver.
Yep.
Okay. 10 out of 10.
Nice.
Sorry. Go to your real take. That was
no. That was gonna say is like you if you like there's no like tweaks to this movie that you can make that make me be like, oh, I will enjoy watching this movie. I think you have to change the movie to make me enjoy it. And I don't think the movie has to be made for my enjoyment.
No,
you
know? Of course.
So like if I was to say like, oh, give me somebody to root for, then we don't have the same movie.
Yeah. No. You I
root
agree.
For the son.
I don't though.
Why?
Wait, which son?
The young boy.
Oh yeah, no, he's fine. I can root for him.
You could root for Min.
That's pretty cool. Min is probably living his best life.
He's living his this best is life, happening. Man.
I like to imagine he comes back and it's just like that Donald Glover meme where he walks in the room on fire.
Oh
yeah,
not the
yeah.
This Is America dance thing.
No, I'd like to imagine. He I mean, walks yeah, you can this imagine that too.
Yeah.
Like.
That's probably what it's like.
Because he goes to university in like Illinois or wherever.
Yeah, wherever he is.
Imagine studying abroad and going to Illinois. To university.
It sounds awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not what I would pick.
I'm going to America.
Yeah. LA?
Where at?
But they're so impressed.
Illinois.
Yeah.
I'm going to Muncie, Indiana.
By the way, if there we have listeners from Illinois, love it.
You know what? I feel justified in this because I was talking to my mentor at work and he's from Chicago. And I was like, would you ever go back to Chicago? He said, no, I can't handle the weather. It's either too hot or too cold. And it's miserable.
And he lives in Seattle.
He lives in Seattle now, but, like 50 and rainy versus like feels like -40 with wind chill.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like that's honestly, how bad it
this
is.
This last year, part of the Great Lakes froze over in Chicago because of how cold it was.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to Chicago in the cold. It sucks. It's not fun.
Yeah. So I feel fine saying that it sucks, even if you're from there. Mm. And I've never been.
Zach, is there anything that you feel like you could change about this movie that would really like send it over the top for you?
No, I don't think so. I really don't think there'd be anything I would change.
I would say, and this isn't like a change, more of like one more thought on it. The Min said that the mom was kind of dumb
right
at the beginning, but she didn't strike me as dumb.
Just maybe an airhead.
Like, I think she was trusting of people, but I don't know if she was
naive.
I think he called her simple, which I guess is kind of like dumb, but like, I can kind of see it where like, it's just like all like the whole family, like all this happened under their noses. I don't know. Maybe.
It's so funny that Scott and I have like the inverse opinion of like the way that you see the mom is how I saw, Henry IV II. Like easily manipulative and like, I don't know, maybe easy to take advantage of.
Or manipulatable.
Yeah.
I think that's true, but I don't think that necessarily means that you're stupid.
Sure. But you said she's trusting and that's like how I describe Henry the Ford. That's just kind of funny.
I think that and maybe I'm putting something on Min that isn't there, although he really does like suggest all this. I think that like, to a con man, a easy mark is a like they would call that person stupid. You know what I mean? Like and maybe Min isn't a con man. I don't know. Like the whole Kim family is.
Well, I think he is. I mean, he suggested
but he does suggest it. Like just lie. Just, like you know, make it up. Like she's not gonna know.
And then like the very first thing she did was throw away the papers. Like if he recommended you, I don't care.
Right.
Yeah. I think that like. Maybe it's easy for me to say she's dumb. This happened all under her nose because they told me. But if it was happening to me, maybe I wouldn't.
I mean, you have like.
Except for when they were like under the coffee table.
That was awkward. That was rough. That was such a complex scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Didn't like it.
I loved it. For the same reasons that you didn't like it. I loved it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie a lot. This will be actually one of my higher rated movies.
I'm curious if you guys are interested in maybe doing this bit just for this season because we have like five 2019 Best Picture nominations. so far, does this deserve Best Picture? It's just up against Ford versus Ferrari.
Oh, no.
I would pick this over Ford.
I'd pick Ford v. Ferrari over this.
I think I would pick Ford over this.
I think you said you would pick Parasite.
I would pick Parasite over Ford.
I think I'd pick Parasite. So far, this wins Best Picture.
Nice.
Yeah, I won't. I don't know.
Well, for me and Scott, I'm sorry. Not definitively.
It's a 2-2 right now.
No, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean definitively. It's split.
I agree on something.
Do they get more weight for their votes?
We do.
I was trying to work this bit out.
Jake was like, wait a minute.
Zach's like, hold on. Let me do this bit where I get to pick the best picture of 2019.
It's because when Zach and I agree on something, it's just weighted higher.
It just so rarely happens.
Because it's like a blue moon.
All right. Well, let's get into the ratings on this.
Okay.
Unless you guys have something else you want to talk about.
No.
I'm going to give this 8.8 Dead Daughters.
Ooh, nice.
Jake.
I'm going to give this 7 Rocks Given as a Gift.
Tyler.
I was going to give this Sorcerer's
Scholar's Rocks.
I was going to give it Sorcerer's Stones, but I'm going to give this 8 lassos around the neck.
Zach?
I'm going to give this movie 8.5 unfairly fired drivers.
I'm glad that you got it above 80%, because if I brought the average down below 80%, I was going to feel pretty bad.
So this movie comes out to an 81%. Once again, Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 99. IMDb gave it 8.5. It comes out to movie number 57 out of 163.
I think that is fair. I think that's right about where I would have expected this.
I feel fine about it. I feel like this movie should be rated higher than I enjoyed it and higher than I think of it. Like I feel like there's got to be something there that I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm good with it. This was one of my question marks for the year on where it was going to get rated, just because I wasn't even sure if I was going to like it. And so the fact that it's that high.
Love going into a movie I picked and not even know if I'm going to like it. And that's not sarcastic.
No,
I love taking that risk.
It's a great risk.
And I knew you weren't going to like it because you had seen it before and had talked negatively about it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it more this time, but
yeah.
And I love that there's still like Best Picture movies for us to nominate on this podcast that like even I haven't seen, you know, that makes me happy. Like, I'm glad that there's 5 years in, we've still got like movies that's like, wait, you guys can do that? Like,
well, and the cool part about being 5 years in is like now, like every year, there's just a whole new
that's
slate.
True. Yeah. A whole like, new.
We always have.
Although we're heading into pandemic year, so.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a little sparse.
Yeah, it gets, and then pretty shortly after, we're going to have
a writer strike.
So can I nominate Tiger King for pandemic year?
Only if we do documentary.
I think we could do Tiger King as like bonus content.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see the second
yeah, a little late season on the of Tiger King?
No,
I don't think I finished it.
It got even more depressing. Yeah. Like, it got real sad.
I think
Carol
just
Baskin.
Tiger King, I was like so hooked on at the time. And I was like, thank God for Tiger King. Cause if this didn't exist, I'd kill myself right now. Just how awful life is.
Yeah.
But now thinking back on it, it takes me back to that state of mind I was in. And I don't even like to think about it. I agree
100%.
Maybe like, that's why it was depressing awful. For
like,
me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if I think about Tiger King, I am back in my apartment. And just like sitting there watching it and been like, I haven't left the house in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I know I'm in the super minority on this, but 2020 was one of my best years.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I'm like, yeah, that was great.
Yeah, you,
but I just don't tell that to a lot of people.
You really crushed it in 2020.
Yeah.
So Tiger King brings you back to a good place.
Yeah. I mean, that was when I started dating my now wife.
Yeah.
I got a promotion. Like, there's like just multiple things that happened in 2020 that I was like, this is a good year. Aside from the millions of people dying and the global pandemic and all that
political stuff. Unrest. Yeah.
If you take all the big players out,
it was a great year.
This is the year
for Scott.
Like the summer of George is the year of Scott.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Where are we going next week, Ty?
Well, I made that mistake, by the way, last week saying that it's not next week. It's in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Well, next episode.
Next episode. We are going to a cult classic This is Spinal Tap. And let me tell you guys, this movie, it goes to 11.
Mm. I'm ready to take it to 11.
I'm ready to rate it 11.
If it doesn't get straight 11s, I think we fail as podcasts.
Dude, I think this episode is just going to be effed up.